Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time. Believe it or not, it's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, hey, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but swing on over there, check out what's going on. You just never know what might pop up. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with 3 E's.
So, all right. Well, you know, Dan and I were talking off the air. My free roll did okay yesterday, but you know, you to win in a free roll, you've got to do great, and I didn't do that. I think I had 158 points and the winner had 298 points, so that kind of gives you an idea of where you got to go. But being that it's a free roll, I just load it up and I try again, and you know, it's probably my fault for experimenting a little too much in them, but hey, they're free, what the hell. So tonight I am going with Zach Davies of the Milwaukee Brewers. He's going to cost me $7,800. He's pitching against the Minnesota Twins. My catcher is Travis Dinald of the New York Mets. He's hitting seventh in their lineup tonight. He only cost me $2,300. First base, I'm going with Cody Bellinger of the Dodgers. He's hitting fourth for them. He cost me $3,900. Second base, I like Daniel Murphy of the Washington Nationals tonight. He cost me $3,500. Third base, I'm going with Jose Ramirez of the Cleveland Indians. He's hitting third for them tonight. He cost me $3,400. Shortstop, I'm going with Dan's guy. I'm going with Didi Gregorius of the Yankees. $3,100, and he's hitting cleanup for the Yankees tonight. So there you go. My outfield features Ryan Braun of the Brewers. Cost me $4,200. He's hitting third for them tonight. You know, I'm going to spend some money on Steve Pierce. I wasn't totally sold on him, but he's been kind of hot. He cost me $3,500. He's hitting fifth for the Blue Jays tonight. And then I wrap up with Christian Yelich of the Miami Marlins. He cost me $3,300. He's hitting third for them tonight. So my lineup ends up looking like it's Zach Davies pitching, Travis Dinald catching, Cody Bellinger at first, Daniel Murphy at second, Jose Ramirez at third, D.D. Gregorius at short, and the outfield is Ryan Braun, Steven Pierce, and Christian Yelich. This is for the free roll they've been doing, which is, what did we decide yesterday? The toughest ticket, the four toughest ticket. And it starts at 6:05 our time, which means you got to just a shade over 26 minutes to get your lineup in and see what's going on. So good luck if you play. I hope it works out for you. Did you do a free roll? Did you do another lineup?
Yeah, well, first I had to watch the video. And then I was able to put in a lineup. But I'll be honest with you, if after hearing yours, if I was paying for this, I would just scratch it and try again tomorrow. but I and you'll see why. I went a little different route. I paid a little bit of money. I figured, hey, it's a free roll, and he did pretty well last time, so I went with you against Arizona. I believe Juan Centeno as my catcher from Houston. He was on the low, 2,300. Here's where you'll get to start to see why. I took hands down, bottom of the line. I don't know how he's not going to be Rookie of the Year, Cody Bellinger. And then Adrian Sanchez from Washington to play second. Seager out there at third base from Seattle. But here we go again with Didi cleaning it up at shortstop. And then Brian Goodwin out in the outfield for Washington, Domingo Santana from Milwaukee, and Marcelo Ozuna to round it out.
Yes. Now, last night, when Dan and I used the same players, they each scored 3 points apiece. So that's the wonderful luck we have when we pair these things up and see how all that stuff works out. So who knows? Maybe we'll have better luck tonight.
You know, maybe they'll both score 30 tonight.
That would be a big plus, wouldn't it? You know, it's one of those things where, you know, like when we do the free rolls, I never expect to win because I know these are the kind of guys who do this for a living that are playing in it, and this is just fun for, you know, me. That's kind of all I do it for. I mean, it's nice to win the money, but I know I'm never going to be winning any of these tournaments, so... I just like to win money. I think I've won once in a free roll this year, so hopefully I can do it again. I do have to warn you, Dan, it's getting really dark by where I live, so I assume in just a scant moment or two when the rain starts, we will begin having problems with the podcast. It will be that time again. So, but I know Dan was also very excited before we got on air. He got the NBA schedule. What was it? The tip off? Is that what they were calling it? So what games were you excited about?
Well, it was the tip off at the beginning of the season, which I forgot that they negotiated an earlier start to give them more time off. And like you had commented yesterday about the no more back to backs. So they're starting Tuesday, October 17th. And I really like this matchup to start off on TNT with Boston taking on Cleveland. And then right after that, the doubleheader, we have the Houston Rockets at Golden State. So, I mean, they really went out and put together a great opening schedule. Go into the next night on the mothership. They kind of got a little shafted, I would think. with their doubleheader of the Sixers versus Washington. And, I mean, for all intents and purposes, I would like to watch this one, but not, you know, like a superstar. Well, maybe now that they got Jimmy. They've got Minnesota versus at San Antonio. And then this one, this Thursday night matchup back on TNT is pretty interesting. We've got the Knicks at OKC. And then the Clippers on the road at home against the Lakers. Yeah, go figure that one out. And then Friday night we go back to the mothership with Cleveland at Milwaukee, and then the Warriors at Atlanta. So when they do the doubleheaders, are they only going to do Cleveland and Golden State on the same night? Is that how it's going to work? Or is that just because it's opening night?
You know, I assume that's what they'll do. I know, I believe I saw, I didn't look at the schedule, but I saw the one headline. They highlight Christmas Day as well. We're going to get Cleveland against Golden State.
Yeah, well, I figured we'd talk about the tip-off, see what you liked first, and then go into the Christmas Day, because I was a little flabbergasted by this.
Yeah, you know, it's the NBA and it's the first week of the season, so you know it all sucks. It doesn't matter. I mean, you know, it's going to be one of these things where, you know, you and I are going to talk about it because we have to. But in the end, we both know it's going to be Golden State and Cleveland when the finals come around again. Because I don't think anything has changed all that much. You know, I mean, it'll be fun to see. You know, can Houston compete with the addition of Chris Paul? You know, so that'll be nice right out of the gate to kind of get a look at that. But, you know, other than that, it's like, yeah, you know, okay, here we go. Let's see. I mean, you know, it's, what is it you said? It's Boston and Cleveland in the first game?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, and I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, okay, the Celtics have Gordon Hayward now. I don't know if that improves them. You know, and again, it's the regular season. I mean, for all we know, LeBron may want to take the first game off. So, you know, you just never know. It would probably be a little more exciting to me if Kyrie Irving does get traded, because then I would be a little more interesting to see how Cleveland functions with, you know, good old D. Rose is the starting point guard. But, you know, other than that, you know, it's opening day, and it's kind of like, oh, goody, here we go. Let's just – when do the playoffs start?
June. Or May. May, I think it's May. Finals start in June. All right, but yeah, you know, you mentioned the next part of that email was Christmas Day. And, I mean, we'll go through it, but you'll notice one team that's been in it almost every single year is not, and they really took themselves out of it, according to a lackluster, quote-unquote, rebuild. But here we go, starting off Christmas Day, we'll have the Sixers at the Knicks. You know, I guess they had to put it in a game that, it might be on in the background starting at noon, 11 o'clock our time. I don't think this game is going to warrant a whole lot of interest. Next, we go into the 3 o'clock game, which will get everyone around their TV sets before dinner, and that would be Cleveland at Golden State. So, you know, I don't know how that works out for LeBron. I mean, San Francisco or Oakland is a few hour flight from L.A., which where his family lives. I don't know if that's a better deal for him to spend Christmas. Then the 5:30 game, which I think should be a game, pretty decent game to watch. I don't know who, you know, how much of it nationally will be watched as Washington at Boston. And then, you know, going into the evening, we've got Houston at OKC. And tonight, which... Again, I think you book in the games with in the day with games in the background, and you're probably not going to get a whole lot of ratings for it. But TNT gets the last game of the night with Minnesota at LA to take on the big baller and company. Do you notice who wasn't in there? I mean, they have D Wade, they've got a couple other guys. I mean, how did the Bulls get scratched out of the Christmas Day game? I don't remember.
Well, you know, I mean, you kind of figure they're going to get dropped for, you know, Lonzo Ball. I mean, you look at the names, you know, with the exception of the early game, and then, of course, you know, depending on how you feel about the Sixers, I mean, by Christmas Day, they could have a team full of stars, depending on who's healthy and how they're playing and all that other fun stuff. And, you know, maybe the Knicks still have Carmelo. So, you know, there's a little interest there. You know, so I can understand why they're there. You mentioned I'm a little surprised that Cleveland and Golden State are the second game of the night, you said?
Yeah, I mean, it's technically, I mean, what is that? That's not in California. So that's 2 o'clock our time, but, you know, that'll be noon their time.
I thought they might be the fourth game, and they would try to squeeze them into prime time. You know, obviously we know why they're on. You know, the Wizards and the Celtics probably had, you know, if not the best playoff series last year. You could tell it was definitely two teams that don't like each other. So you've got to wonder if that carries over, and you know that could make that a little fun to watch, because, you know, anytime you think teams are going to fight, there's a little bit of interest there. You know, then, of course, you get, you know, the primetime game should be full of offense. You know, the Rockets we know can score. They're going to shoot threes. The Thunder, you know, obviously got Russell Westbrook, and then we're going to get to see Paul George. So, that makes sense. You know, and then I'm not surprised. You know, the T-Wolves made a lot of nice ads. You know, Jimmy Butler gets to play on Christmas. You know, they brought in Jeff Teague and then a couple other ex-Bulls, Taj Gibson and Jamal Crawford. And then, of course, you know, they're going to want Lonzo Ball on as probably as much as they can get him on just so they can get LeVar out there to make a complete ass of himself. So... but, yeah, I am curious. You know, I'm noticing here I found the article on it. I didn't realize Christmas Day was a Monday. Now, normally, you know, the NBA has Christmas all to themselves. You know, they're left alone, no problems. But this year, they're going to have to compete with a couple of NFL games. Maybe that's why the Warriors and the Cavs are on so early in the day, because we're going to have the Steelers and the Texans at a 3:30, you know, our time, and then the Monday night game is going to be the Raiders at the Eagles. That's a 7:30 start. So it could be, you know, a little bit of a challenge there for those later games to pick up the ratings. You know, because no matter how you want to look at it, I mean, we've been over it here before. You know, the NFL is still the king, you know, until somebody manages to knock them off. So that'll be interesting to see how those later games do.
Yeah, well, I mean, that doctor from Africa is really trying to knock them off. And I mean, you hear more and more about it. You know, there was a report and a study done of, you know, NFL players that passed away, and out of 100 of them, 99 had CTE.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you know, that's not a huge surprise to me at all. I mean, if you look, the equipment has begun to improve every year. You know, they make a little better and a little better improvements on equipment. But, you know, a lot of those guys back in the day, you know, what did you wear on your head? You basically wore a shell that didn't offer a ton of protection. So, you know, anytime you got whacked in the head, obviously there were going to be repercussions. You know, I mean, there wasn't a lot of, I don't even know if I want to call it medical knowledge or ingenuity, or maybe it was just the fact that they didn't care. But, you know, guys obviously played back then when they shouldn't have. And, you know, it's coming up now, but, you know, the object becomes, you know, do they want to be you and I and get up every day and do menial labor for menial money? Or do you want to take a chance that you could contact this brain injury and make hundreds of millions of dollars in your life? You know, I believe a lot of guys see that as a fair trade-off. And the one guy even mentioned it, Jamal Adams, said he was willing to die on the field, but he's a rookie. So, you know, I mean, obviously they're going to try to make the game safer. We don't want to see anybody die on the field. You know, then all of a sudden it becomes Rollerball and it's like a bad movie that's been remade. Is that a fair trade-off? I think I would have done that for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
You know, I mean, in reality, we kind of did it for free, you know, with what we embarrassingly used to make as professional wrestlers. I mean, you know, I can tell you, I've had multiple concussions. I'm sure you've had them too. You know, you suffered, you know, an ankle that still bothers you from breaking it. You know, my knees are shot from doing it all those years. And, you know, I can guarantee you I don't have any money left from back then. So.
Yeah, well, I mean, you were there for my, well, we don't know if I had a concussion or not. I'm sure I did. But my first one, when I thought I was only out for a couple of minutes. And my cousin later told me, no, dude, you missed an entire, you know, Sunday practice of two plus hours.
Yeah.
I believe we may have gone out to eat afterwards, and then I was at his house for hours. I didn't know if I went home that day.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's one, obviously it makes you wonder, you know, I mean, I played high school and college football along with, you know, all that other stuff. I mean, down the road, is this something I have to deal with? I mean, I don't think I have any problems, but, you know, I mean, I've had multiple concussions. I mean, I can guarantee that. So, you know, but it was something we loved to do. And, you know, I mean, I'm understanding now, the more I look into it, maybe, you know, you don't start your kids in football as a 6 or 7 or 8 year old. Maybe you wait till they're a teenager, you know, or maybe even a freshman in high school, and you kind of let them learn the game that way. You know, obviously that would delay their, you know, the start of their injuries, but I don't know. I'm not a parent. It's, you know, it's not my decision. I mean, if a kid wants to play, you know, do you tell, you know, you tell them no, you know, you try to explain it to them, would they understand?
Yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of the big thing when you hear some of the complaints that, you know, there's some organizations out there trying to make it to where if your child gets hurt, you can almost get in trouble for child abuse. And I mean, you know, maybe my generation, and you would remember this too, going all the way back to, and I know he's taboo now, but, you know, going back to Bill Cosby and the Huxtables, I can't think of the name of the show right now, the Cosby Show, duh. And, you know, Rudy playing football with the boys and, you know, helmets and pads and everything and, you know, running back a touchdown and doing a little, you know, the little shuffle with their legs, their little dance, and everybody loved it. But, you know, sometimes when I look at it now, seeing, you know, five-year-old boys all suited up in pads and helmets, I mean, they're still learning their coordination to walk as a regular human being. And now you're putting all this crap on top of them. They don't know how to tuck their head. They get knocked over, their head's going straight in that ground, despite the fact that there's a helmet on there. They're just going to weigh them down. So, I mean, I'm in a little bit more of agreement with you that flag football would probably be the route to go, which is what my sister did up until, I think he was 12 or something. And, I mean, not sadly, but determining how you're going to make it in high school or not, it actually depends on your intelligence level. And if you understand how to run and read plays, you know, that's what put my nephew ahead of the curve on some of the kids, especially the ones who never played football before, was he got a hell of a lot more starts because he knew how to read and know how to run plays. Where, you know, the kids who started within freshman year, they had no clue. I mean, I never played football, so to me, I don't understand that. You know, run the ball, throw the ball. Try to tackle a guy. That's all I know.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know a lot of the difficult time is, I mean, I understand, you know, parents are going to do this for safety, and, you know, it will all make total sense, but the issue becomes it's very clicky. And what I mean by clicky is a lot of times these kids have played together for years. They already have their positions picked out, you know, like they know who the quarterback is, they know who the running back is, and so on down the line. You know, when you come in and you're the new guy, you literally have to be miles and miles ahead of that guy. And then, you know, there's going to be bullying. You know, you're going to get teased to death because you're not in with the in crowd, so to speak, until you can get there and face it. And I mean, they're kids. That's just how it is. And I learned it because when I grew up, I was, you know, and I'm just going to admit it, I was too fat to play. I weighed too much to play in the league they had. So I wasn't allowed to play. So I didn't start until freshman year. Now, I understood the game from playing, and obviously I was just going to be a lineman. But it took me a long time to fit in, probably the entire fall practice two a days, which went on for like 3 weeks or a month, before I actually fit in with the guys and they accepted me, because I hadn't played with them for all those years. They, you know, they knew who I was from like some of the other sports, but they didn't know me on the football field. I wasn't part of the clique. And it, you know, it's just what, you know, the way it is. You know, there's nothing a parent can do about it. There's nothing a school can do about it. I know a lot of times the parents blame the school. You know, there's nothing you can do. I mean, if the kids are going to go after you like that, they're going to go after you like that. And it's just the object of, you've got to somehow manage to be mentally tough enough to prove to them that you're good enough to be there. You belong there. And, you know, obviously if you manage that, hey, great, you're in. If not, you know, it can haunt you. And, you know, kids quit. I mean, in the worst case scenario, there's actually been kids who have committed suicide, you know, which is just horrible to think that being teased or being bullied like that could push you that far. I mean, I would have never thought that as a kid. And I mean, you know, you're talking to a fat kid his entire life. I've always been the fat kid. So, you know, it just, you know, never crossed my mind, but I know it's a whole different generation now. And, It's weird, but, you know, that's just kind of, sadly, that's just kind of how it goes as a kid. You know, and luckily, in what, 10 or 12 years, you'll get to go through all this.
Yeah. Well, that's probably gonna find a place to live now, so that way she can grow up with all the people and, you know, maybe be on the not on the outside of it.
Yeah. Just imagine those kids who had to move around and restart, you know, every freaking year. Yeah, you know, that just kind of, you know, makes it, you know, even more difficult. But yeah, it's. Like you said, going back to the study, I mean, it didn't surprise me at all that all those guys, you know, like the one thing I know, I heard somebody commenting, they were so shocked that one of the guys was a punter that actually tested positive for CTE. But you got to remember, he may have only been a punter in the NFL. You know, he may have played two positions in high school. You damn well know he wasn't just a punter in high school. So, you know, he's been playing football for, 8 years or whatever, you know, before he got to the NFL, he played other positions. So, you know, I'm guessing if he would have just been a punter, he probably wouldn't have picked it up there. But the fact that, you know, he played around and did these other things and, even like quarterbacks, I mean, you know, quarterbacks, a lot of guys play two ways in high school. So, you know, not only you're the quarterback, you don't get hit that much because you're protected, but, you know, you're playing defense somewhere. You're a linebacker or a safety or, you know, something like that, and you're hitting guys. Or, you know, if you're good with the football, you're returning kicks for punts. So, you know, it's not just because you're the quarterback that's all you play is quarterback, you know, your whole life. I mean, you know, Tom Brady played other positions. You know, that's just kind of how it goes. But yeah, it'll be interesting. I saw somebody suggest what you've kind of said all along, that kids under the age of high school should only be allowed to play flag football, and that should be their leagues to learn about the games. Do you, you mentioned it a time or two. Do you see it actually swinging that way, and we're going to end up with the, you know, non-high school aged players, you know, just doing flag?
I think so. I mean, actually, oddly, where I live, flag football things going on in Chicagoland, where a lot of people come from all over. And Emily found this out because I was watching during one of the Bears games last year and saw a bunch of kids playing flag football. And I'm like, hey, that looks familiar. You know, I drive, and of course, you know, I find out later on that it's the neighborhood, you know, a couple blocks over that I drive past all the time. So. I think you're going to see more of it. I mean, because, you know, anyone can take a beating. I don't, you know, it doesn't really show how tough you are, I guess. But in order for you to be, I think, a little bit more successful at football, you've got to understand the ins and outs and knowing how to run plays.
Yeah, you know, and flag would give them that opportunity. You know, they would be able to run a scripted offense and a scripted defense. And, you know, while there would still be some contact, you have to think the head trauma would be way down. You know, maybe that's, you know, something, you know, possible to at least stunt the disease. You know, I don't think you could ever get rid of it, because, I mean, you're talking about large grown men running full speed into other large grown men. There's always going to be that out there, but, you know, maybe that's a way to at least slow the growth, or possibly, you know, that retards it enough to when you're closer to fully developed, you know, before you start doing that to your body. I mean, I don't know enough about it or, you know, how it goes, but, you know, maybe that's kind of a solution to look at. You know, obviously it would kill the Friday Night Tykes TV show, but that's a little weird anyways when I've watched it. So.
Yeah, I've never watched it. But, I mean, again, when you're going back to coordination, I remember when my nephew first started tackle football, and you've got these young kids. I think he was about 10 or 11. You've got these young kids. They're all trying to learn how to move and run around. I mean, just getting them to set when the ball is set down is, you know, an accomplishment in itself. And it would kill me because they'd have the quarterback trying to throw a ball, and the kids don't even barely know how to catch the ball or throw the ball. Especially,
yeah.
you know, added the weight, and not only the weight, but the immobility of the shoulder pads, because they really haven't developed it. They don't have, you know, long enough arms to really put them at an arm's length, so to speak. You know, it was just watching, you know, kind of, I guess you'd say, Pee Wee football was kind of ridiculous. And then, like, you kind of the clicks start up, and the clicks start with the parents, not so much with the kids. So then you've got kids
oh,
out
yeah.
there that, you know, shouldn't even be playing, but their dad's coaching. So the kid who actually can run the ball and has a little bit of knowledge is sitting on the sideline because, unfortunately, his parents both work and they're not coaching.
Yeah. Yep. You know, or they can't help out at the concession stand or, you know, drive here or
mm-hmm.
there. You know, yeah, it's very, you know, and I used to coach, so I know all about it. I know how clicky it can be. And, you know, luckily for me, I mean, a lot of kids gravitated to my team because I didn't have a kid. So they knew all they had to be was the best player to play. So. But, you know, since we're talking about football, Dan, you know, there are actually 7 preseason games tonight. And one of them features the local team here. But here we got the Atlanta Falcons are going to play the Miami Dolphins. Now, before everybody gets excited in Chicago, Jay Cutler is not scheduled to play for the Dolphins. We got the Minnesota Vikings at the Buffalo Bills. Now, the interesting thing about that, Dan, and again, I don't know how accurate it is, but they're saying there are tickets available from $3 and up to get into that game. We've got the Redskins at the Ravens. The Jaguars are at the Patriots. The Saints are at the Browns. The Eagles are in Green Bay to take on the good old Packers. And then, of course, the Broncos are here in Chicago to face the Bears. So we'll get to see the good old, you know, number 2 overall draft pick, Mitchell Trubisky, is going to make his debut for the Bears. But what I always find so interesting about this, Dan, is, you know, looking back, you know, the Cubs obviously have just won a World Series. The Blackhawks have won 3 Stanley Cups over, I think it's the past 7 years. Now, you know, the Bulls and the White Sox sadly are bad, and that's just kind of how it's going to be. But, man, you know, once Bears training camp got going, you would have hardly realized on sports radio that there was anything else going on, because all they wanted to do was talk about the Bears. Man, I'm looking at this team, Dan, and if they're lucky, they're going to win 3 games. I don't get it.
Yeah, I had them at 3 games, too, with the possibility of 2 other games that I think can go either way between 2 crappy teams. but where was I going to go? You know, I actually had to turn off the radio anytime the Bears were, you know, talked about, because it just, what do you get out of training camp? You don't get anything. And the other thing is all everyone wants to talk about is, when is Trubisky going to take over? And then you always have that one guy, but, you know, he's not actually part of the show. He's a guest call in from somewhere else who actually has a brain and understands how things work, and always brings up the fact that, Aaron Rodgers sat for 3 years behind Brett Favre. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's only going to kill me tomorrow morning. Either Mitch Trubisky is going to be the worst, and why the hell did the Bears pick him, and, you know, go on and so forth, or it's going to be the complete opposite. You know, Glennon didn't look so great in, you know, 12 snaps, and Mitch Trubisky should be opening day quarterback, and, you know, he's going to be the next best thing since Jim McMahon. And, you know, you can go on and go. So, you know, I remember back in the day, Grossman, you know, was the reincarnation of Jim McMahon, and they were going to win the Super Bowl and this and that. And, you know, so we hear about this every year. So, I mean, it's preseason. And I won't even listen again tomorrow, because they're either going to dog Trubisky or he's going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, are you kind of feeling the same way?
Oh, yeah. Well, here you go. You'll get a kick out of this. You know, I mentioned that, you know, the Patriots are playing tonight as well. There is the possibility that up to 25 players on the Patriots will not even suit up for tonight's game. Now, here's some of the names you're going to recognize. Danny Amendola, of course, Tom Brady's not playing. Malcolm Butler, Patrick Chung, the newly acquired Brandon Cooks, Julian Edelman, the other wide receiver. Of course, Gronk isn't gonna play tonight. And then a couple of their top defensive backs, Stephon Gilmore, Daron Harmon, and Devin McCourty. So that'll tell you what week one of the preseason means to the Patriots.
So, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Belichick isn't a genius for no reason.
Yeah, just one of those fun things. But yeah, you know, yeah, like you were saying, you know, tomorrow, or actually tonight, it'll be tomorrow, but for a lot of people it's tonight. When I get in the car to go to work early tomorrow morning, all that's going to be on sports talk radio, which is fantastic that I just have a 6-minute drive to work, is going to be how the quarterbacks played. Now, to be fair, I'm guessing Mike Glennon is probably only going to play a quarter or maybe less than that. You know, last night Cam Newton didn't even play for the Panthers in their first preseason game. There was no need to get him out there. Glennon, I could see playing a little bit because he needs to kind of function as a starter. He hasn't done it as the full-time guy. You know, I'm sure Mark Sanchez will play a little, even though as a veteran he doesn't need that much. But, yeah, it'll be probably the Connor Shaw, Mitch Trubisky show for this week. And, yeah, you know, we're going to get a full report card on Trubisky and, you know, how he is and how his future is going to play out after just this one preseason game playing against guys who are, as the term goes, going to be bagging groceries after training camp is over. So, you know, you can't make these judgments this fast. And, you know, in a perfect world, you know, Glennon plays well enough to keep Trubisky on the bench all year. And he learns and develops, and he can go into next year and, you know, win the job and take over from there. But the more he plays this year, that just means it's an even worse season for the Bears than the season I thought they were going to have, which is mm-hmm. just frightening.
Yeah, I mean, in all likelihood, I really think if the Bears want to work it out, he should not play this year at all. Save him. You know, I know there's no arbitration clock you have to worry about. And he really shouldn't play next year until they really, you know, get something going and building around, you know, an offensive line that's going to actually protect him so that maybe when he does get his time in, and, you know, this remains to be seen this year too, so that when he does get his time in, he at least has maybe a second or two more than Jay Cutler ever had in the pocket. But I do think it's time to update the reference, Big Jack, and I know you'll actually like this one. I'm not, you know, trying to date you, you know, put your age out there or anything. But I think the new term instead of bagging groceries for today's generation, I understand, would be driving for Uber. Or I guess, yeah.
Oh, okay. Running a website or something like that. I thought that could be a good one.
Doing a podcast. No, but, you know, everyone's the big thing for is Uber. You know, these guys could – I thought that would be a good one that, you know, maybe we can coin here. I don't know. I haven't heard anyone really use it. So. But a bag and groceries after spring training, they'll be driving for Uber.
There you go. Well, you know, I like the bag and groceries one because, you know, Lou Brown uses it in Major League. Actually, I think he uses it in Major League 2.
Just imagine him saying, "I'll be driving for Uber."
Well, I think they're remaking Major League. Maybe he can do that, or they're adding another one or something like that. So,
is he still alive?
I don't even know. Yeah, I was going to say we'd have to check there on that to see if he is definitely still with us and could take that role. I'm actually going to Bing the movie right now and see if I can get the cast and find out who he is who he is because I don't remember his name off the top of my head. Well, I've seen him in quite a few things. You know, he's,
yeah, well,
he's
while
one
you're
of
doing,
those guys.
Well, while you're doing
oh,
that,
yeah,
oh, you already got it. That was quick. Bing.
Oh, yeah, Bing is sadly, it does look like he passed away in 2010. His name was James Gammon, G-A-M-M-O-N. Yeah, he died July 16th, 2010 at age 70. So, sadly, he could not he could not be Lou Brown if they bring him back, if they bring the character back, which is too bad.
Well, we'll have to find out who's making that movie and send them a nice little email slash letter or something. You got to put in driving for Uber. But, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk about, you know, you already mentioned Jay Cutler is not going to start. Not surprised. I don't think he's really worth it. He's a pro. He's done it long enough. He doesn't need to be in the spring training for preseason. But what I was thinking about with Jay Cutler, and I know it's going to be different across, you know, fantasy leagues, but maybe focusing just a little bit on ours because they're Chicago-based, but then maybe branching out a little bit. How do you value him? You know, I honestly think he's going to be my first nomination in the auction league if you're not before me and don't do it before me. And
yeah.
I'm hoping...
Yeah, because you know I'm...
Yeah, to be honest, I'm actually hoping I can get him through for a couple bucks because I would say a dollar, but I know how you are, and you would just bid number two because you're not going to let a guy go for a dollar in the first, you know, nomination round or so. But, I mean, how do you think he's actually going to be valued this year, fantasy-wise?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of weird because I was talking to my buddy Greg, who I work with, who's in both our football leagues. Greg is the one who won't play in the baseball league because it ruins his manager rating on Yahoo, in case you need reference there on who we're talking about. But, yeah, he's, you know, we were both a little unsure. I mean, you know, it looks like it's a really good situation for Jay Cutler to be coming into. You know, he had really good success with Adam Gase, you know, here in Chicago. You know, and I mean, they've got weapons. You know, Jay Ajayi really kind of showed that he was a number one running back last season. Of course, you know, he had some concussion issues and he needs to stay healthy. But, they have him. Of course, you know, Jarvis Landry is, you know, a top wide receiver. They have Devontae Parker, and then Kenny Stills is one of the best deep threats, you know, in football. So, you know, he has those, you know, those weapons there around him. It's just, you know, the usual time, you know, is he going to have time, you know, and I'm sure, you know, Gase is going to set this up. They have a solid offensive line. You know, Mike Pouncey, when he's healthy, is probably the best center in the NFL. So he'll have that to work with. And you know, obviously he's, you know, I don't, you know, he's not going to go out and throw for 5,000 yards or anything like that, but I think he's got the opportunity to have a very good year and, you know, possibly pick up, you know, they're in a division that's not that get great with the exception of New England. You know, they could sneak up on some teams and maybe steal a playoff spot at 9-7 or 10-6, maybe grab a wild card spot, you know, just depending. And, you know, you've got to worry, of course, about the old Jay Cutler, who has a tendency to make mistakes and throw the ball to the wrong team, you know, a little more than you would like. But, you know, it's a lot better situation than he had here in Chicago is the way to look at it.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I actually posted a blog. I don't know if you saw it. Monday night or Tuesday morning. I don't really remember, but you know, I like we've always talked about. I was never the biggest Jay Cutler fan to begin with, but then I think as time progressed, And, you know, I went through the five stages of, you know, almost like you would when the five stages of death. Because when you were a Bears fan, you kind of went through all that during his time here. And, you know, the last stage is acceptance. And, you know, you had to learn to accept Jay Cutler for who he was. And then you start taking a look and you're like, well, maybe it's not really him because they really never designed anything for him. And he always had a different guy coaching him, be it the coach or the coordinator. And, you know, like when we had that Mark guy from Canada, I can't even remember his name anymore. But, you know, it was like, well, we don't need to run the ball. We just need the quarterback to throw it 1 yard. And that's just like running the ball. So he basically throws the ball in every single play for an entire season. You know what I mean? They just never seemed to really work with him the way he was supposed to be. So I think that's why he's gotten such a bad rap. And that was the funny thing Monday morning. I'm sure you heard it, you know, on your way to work too. I mean, what I think got me the most though was it was more the fans calling in and really dogging and hating Jay Cutler, this and that. And I'm like, yeah, but you were probably the same guy when he was brought over here and, you know, for 3 years were, lack of a better word, jocking him, right?
Well, you know, and it's the, you know, the old NFL saying of the quarterback gets too much credit when they lose and too much credit when they win and too much blame when they lose. You know, now, again, you know, Jay Cutler made his mistakes. You know, I'm not going to come on here and try to defend the interceptions or the fumbles and stuff like that, but you know, it's so weird how it seemed the biggest reason people disliked him is he wasn't a cheerleader. You know, he wasn't that go-go type of quarterback. You know, he was just quiet. He didn't, you know, every now and then you would see him get a little angry. I know he yelled at a couple offensive coordinators here and there, and I think, a player or two. But, you know, that's just not his style, and you've got to understand that. I mean, if you're going to go with a guy like Jay Cutler, don't expect him to fire up your offense. You're going to need another guy for that. You know, he's not going to be the rah-rah, get-in-your-face type of quarterback, but he's got talent. I mean, he has a great arm, yeah. You know, and if Adam Gase can control him and he's not throwing interceptions, they're going to be just fine. I mean, obviously they're not going to beat the Patriots. Let's face it, they weren't going to beat the Patriots with Ryan Tannehill under center. So, you know, I don't see it being an issue. You know, like I saw somebody, one of my wonderful sports friends on my Facebook page complaining that the Dolphins wasted $10 million. Well, you know, we'll see. You know, were they? You know, your other option was Matt Moore. Were you winning the division with Matt Moore? Yeah, I didn't think so. So there you go.
What do you mean? The other option was Colin Kaepernick. I mean, Spike Lee's doing rallies.
Well, what many people forget, which was so interestingly pointed out on one of the football shows, I don't remember which one I was watching, when Colin Kaepernick made a trip to Miami, and now I don't remember if this was last year with the 49ers or maybe in the past, he was bright enough to wear a Fidel Castro t-shirt. And that's if you remember the situation with Ozzie Guillen, to relate it in a baseball term for you, you know what happens to you in Miami when you reference Fidel Castro. You know, there are a lot of older people there who lived under Castro's reign and were not, he was not a very good person. So the minute that happened, there was no way the Dolphins could bring Colin Kaepernick in. So it was just, you know, one of those situations where there was no chance of that ever happening. And you can't say it wasn't any, you know, well, he didn't do anything. Well, yeah, he did. He wore the shirt. And if you don't know the influence of Castro in the Miami area, that's your own stupidity. You know, there's no other way to look at it. So, sorry, Colin.
But that's the sad part about the situation with him is we both looked into his background. I mean, it's not like we did a whole lot of digging and searching because it's out there. It's, you know, 2017. You don't have to look far. This was honors guy in college. This is not a guy who, well, you know, for all we know, you know, this is not a kid who, you know, had someone and paid someone to get by on all his grades. He was a smart person. So he would have known something like that. And my other question, my only question to you, Big Jack, is where the hell do you even get a Fidel Castro shirt? I mean, I know about the Che Guevara and, you know, you can find those easily, but I didn't know here in America you can find a Fidel Castro shirt.
Well, you know how it is. I mean, I'm sure if you want, you can get anything made, especially with his kind of money. You know, and, you know, I mean, it's one of those situations. I mean, you know how I feel. I don't support what he did last year, but I totally believe in his right to do it. You know, I mean, he made a difference. He brought attention to something that needed attention brought to, and unlike a lot of people, he did spend his money on the cause. He did donate millions of dollars, you know, unlike a lot of people who just go out there and throw their name out there and then it's just their name. There's no other follow-up. So I give him all the credit in the world for that. But, you know, again, this is the situation he finds himself in, and it's, you know, I mean, you can say whatever you want about, oh, well, you know, this NFL team should do that or this NFL team should do this. They don't have to. You know, it's not a right to play in the NFL, even if you're talented enough to play in the NFL. So they don't have to, they don't have to sign them.
That's what I thought was funny. Oh, okay. You know, no offense. I get what Spike Lee's doing, and, you know, he's kind of a political activist in sense. I would have thought he'd
made a... And let's be fair. He likes the attention. Let's be fair.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, what I don't understand is why he didn't plan a rally for Charles Oakley. I would have been all over that.
Right.
You know. But I mean, I get it. You know, and I get where he's coming from. I get what he's trying to do. But like you said, okay, so you go do a rally and host a rally in front of NFL headquarters in New York, which he lives in New York, so it makes it even more, you know, even easier to do. But what does that really accomplish?
Right.
You know, like you said, the NFL, no team has to sign him just because Spike Lee did that. I think the statement that Colin Kaepernick made by kneeling does more for himself, for, you know, hurts himself, than Spike Lee doing what they're doing. I don't really see that being a dent.
Yeah, you know.
And after the rally was announced, I haven't heard anything else since about it.
Yeah, well, you know, and you have to look at it, you know, there was a really good chance for him to sign with the Ravens until the owner found out that the fan base didn't want him signed. Okay, now the object is to sell tickets and have people come see your product. That's the one place where the NFL is having some issues, because, you know, the home viewing experience is getting so much better. You know, obviously the Ravens play very close to Annapolis, which is, you know, the top naval facility in America. They're going to have some issues with the national anthem and the flag. You know, I could just imagine if Kaepernick was a Raven and they went out for his first game and he kneeled down during the anthem, the last thing the Ravens owner would want would be some kind of ticket boycott, and all of a sudden they can't sell their seats. Now, the same thing here in Miami, you damn well know if they would have signed him, the first thing that would have happened is some troll would have got on the internet and started putting all over the place him wearing that Fidel Castro shirt. And, you know, and I mentioned to you before, we know that guy Ozzie Guillen ran out as Marlins manager for making pro-Castro comments. You know, the Dolphins don't draw all that well as it is to begin with. The last thing they need is people not showing up because of this. So, you know, sorry. You know, he comes out on the losing end on both cases, and it's just how, you know, things work. They have to sell tickets. But, you know, bottom line.
Yeah, well, what I do find interesting, though, too, is, you know, you said the Baltimore Ravens, and once they got a hold of their you know, that their fan base wouldn't be happy with it. That was very similar to the Orioles and possibly bringing in Jose Bautista. And you remember how quickly that got shut down by the fan base. I was surprised. I mean, I didn't think he was that dyslexic of a person.
Yeah, and, you know, I know that the first thing everybody is going to say, and I've actually heard guys say it, is, well, you know, the Ravens used to have Ray Lewis, and look at, you know, this and that. Yeah, but, you know, while Ray Lewis obviously managed to get himself in quite a bit of trouble, he didn't do anything either against the flag or the national anthem, which, again, you're talking about the, you know, largest naval base in America, I believe, you know, Annapolis. So, you know, you've got to kind of understand the circumstances there. And I'm not saying Ray Lewis is a good person, because obviously he's not. You can go back and look at his history. But, you know, also the fact he was a winner. You know, you can call him what you want, but in the end, he won. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. He was a great player. And when you're that, people have a tendency to overlook those, you know, was it attempted murder or conspiracy to commit murder or whatever those funky little charges were he picked up that he ended up being found innocent of. Yeah, winning a Super Bowl, they seem to kind of forget that you actually did that. So.
And what happens in Atlanta stays in Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, right or wrong, you know, winning kind of covers all that stuff up. And while Colin Kaepernick has been to a Super Bowl, he did not win it. As a matter of fact, he lost to the Ravens. So, you know, there you go.
See how that works?
But, yeah, it's, you know, again, it'll be, you know, it'll be interesting to see where or if he finally lands somewhere, you know, how it works out. And, you know, how the team deals. And, you know, a lot of it is the fact that, you know, it's the media that's going to create the circus around him, not so much the team he's playing with. So, you know, that's kind of how it's always going to go. But, you know, we'll see what happens if that comes about.
You know, before we run out of time, do you think that was one of the issues that while he was, I want to say standing for something, but I guess appropriately while he was kneeling for something, it coincided with the fact that he went to a Super Bowl, he lost, and within, you know, a year and a half, year, 2 years' time, he went from being essentially on top of the world in the NFL to being the backup?
Yeah, you know, it didn't help his cause. And now he did, when he played last year, he actually played pretty well. But yeah, when you get beat out by Blaine Gabbert, that's not the easiest thing in the world to recover from. You know, and I mean, you can look at it as, you know, maybe it was, you know, a bit of a coaching conspiracy or, you know, however you want to do those things, you know, but in the end, it's, you know, again, you still sat behind Blaine Gabbert. So there, you know, I think once the first injury comes on, he probably ends up on the team, but I don't know. Yeah. All right, excuse me, it's time for Ken and I to take off. But, hey, we're going to come back tomorrow at 5:30 to this all again. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Dan wrote something for the first time in about a year, so you should definitely go check that out. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Of course, don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. Dan and I are also on Twitter. You can hunt us down there. Big thanks for listening live. Dan and I really like when you tune into us live. That's cool of you to do. But don't forget, you can find the podcast anytime you want at tunein.com.